Jeremiah chapter number 45. Jeremiah chapter 45. You want to stand on and read God's Word? The Bible says in verse number 1, the word that Jeremiah the prophet spake unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, when he had written these words in a book at the mouth of Jeremiah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto thee, O Baruch, thou didst say, Woe is me now, for the Lord hath added grief to my sorrow. I fainted in my signing, and I find no rest. Thus shalt thou say unto him, The Lord saith thus, Behold, that which I have builded will I break down, and that which I have planted I will pluck up, even this whole land. And seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not, for behold, I will bring evil upon all flesh, saith the Lord. But thy life will I give unto thee for a prey in all places, whether thou goest. See this story tonight, and it's a message to Baruch. And Baruch, if you've ever read any in here, it tells you that Baruch is a faithful secretary to Jeremiah. Amen. And he's writing here, and he's talking about the things that's taking place, and he kind of gets down and out. Amen. I know we don't ever get down and out. We're always way up on the mountain, you know, shouting all the time, right? Amen. You never get discouraged. You never get dismayed. You're always just right on the top. Just no, we're not. Sometimes we get down. We get disappointed too. Amen. And what was taking place in Baruch's life? He was sharing in the prophet's troubles and trials. He was sharing in the prophet's sorrows. Amen. And then the event here we see is as Baruch he'd spent a lot of time and he had been writing down the things of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was getting the word of God. God was sending it down to him, and Jeremiah was speaking it out of his mouth, and as he was preaching it, Baruch was pinning it down. Amen. But we see what takes place. He has this word. He gets it pinned down. He's kind of excited within himself because he feels like he's done something wonderful. He feels like he's done something great. Amen. And they get the word and they take it and they read it before the king, and the king says, Hey, I want you to go get that roll. I want you to bring it in. And the Paul Harvey version. And he gets it in chapter 36, and they read it before King Jehoiakim. And when they do, he says he takes out a penknife, he cuts it up, he's a fire burning, he takes the roll, and the word of God, he throws it, pitches it in the fire. Amen? I don't know about you, that would tend to be pretty discouraging. You say, well, preacher, what would be so discouraged about that? Well, let me just say this. Slow down just a minute. Just say this. They didn't have fax machines, okay? They didn't have stenographers. They didn't do it on a little old machine where they just hit a key and they had a word. He was having to take a quill and a pen, and he was trying to dip and print and dip and line and until he done the word of God. The whole book, what Jeremiah was giving him to give to the people. Amen. And so he gets pretty down and out, praise God, because his prophets, the prophets that he had, we can see that he's been disappointed. But amen. But we got to remember that no matter what we do, no matter how it seems like it's failed, God sees our work. God sees what you do and what I do, praise God. Even if somebody don't like it, even if somebody puts it down, even if somebody tears it up, God sees our work and he knows what we're doing. Amen. There's a lot of hard work, praise God. And you can see Baruch's disappointment as his work literally goes up in smoke. Amen. Could you imagine taking, no telling how much time it took to write this out, and this just goes up in smoke. Just a moment in time, it's gone. It seems like your work and everything that you've done, the time that you put into it, was just a useless task. And it would be unless we remember why we're doing it. Amen? We're doing it. We're not doing it for ourselves. We're not doing it to be pleasing to men. Praise God. We need to realize what we're doing, why we're doing, and for whom we are doing it. Amen. What we're doing it for the Lord God of glory. So he said the Barak is tore up here, and these things that's taking place, things are transpiring, and they ought to have been listening to him. The kings, all the rest of them ought to have been listening, because he's a tough road to coming. Everything that they predicted, everything that Jeremiah's prophesying was going to happen is going to happen. Amen? Everything that he prophesied, it did take place. So he wasn't telling them some kind of fairy tale. He was telling them the precious Word of God, the truth of the Word, praise God, that would could have redirected their hearts and changed their lives. Amen? So we see that God, we know that God sees our words, but we also know that God knows our trials. He knows what we're up against. Amen? Now just think about it. He could have chosen an easier life. Amen? Barak could have chosen an easier life. It always seemed, Brother Jeff, like he's an easier way to go. This world is full of easy paths. Paths that you can take that seem a little bit easier. But he chose to identify himself with one of the most unpopular people of the time. Amen? He chose to identify himself with Jeremiah. And Jeremiah wasn't a popular person. Amen. Because he was prophesying the Word of God. Amen. He was prophesying the truth of the Word of God to people that didn't want to hear the truth. Amen. If he was here today, two-thirds of the world which we live in wouldn't want to hear him. Two-thirds of the world wouldn't want to hear, would not want anything that he has to say. Now, I used to think it was high for the world, but I believe it's about two-thirds now. There's just a small remnant. It seems like it's getting smaller all the time. There's a falling away. People start to be persuaded by other things and going in all kinds of different directions. Like we think that we're so good within ourselves that we don't really need God. And that's the same thing they were talking. They had the power and the strength. America better be careful. Amen. We better recognize and realize that no matter what we do, we need the Lord God Almighty, amen, to be our help. Amen. That God's people, we need Lord Jesus Christ in our country. We need Him in the midst. Praise God. Amen. So we see what he did, and we wonder why he did it. Amen. Why did Barak choose this side? Why did he choose to hang out with Jeremiah? He chose to hang out with Jeremiah because he believed the Word of God. Amen. Because he believed the Word of God. He believed that the Word of God was coming through this man of God, and he was dedicating it, putting it down so that others could get it. He was a willing vessel to go out and proclaim that word and tell them, say, look, this is what thus says the Word of God. But it was a time and era nobody wanted to hear it. Amen. He believed the Word of God, and he himself relied on the Word of God. Amen. Hey, listen, we're living a day and era that we need to rely, we need to trust in, we need to rely on the Word of God. It will get us through. It will give us, praise God, that blessed hope that God has for us. Amen. But right here we see in the, I don't know if I give you the title of the message, Seeking Great Things. Seeking Great Things. See, we're always looking for something bigger, something better. But if you've got the Lord Jesus Christ on your side, praise God, you've got the best part there is. There's nothing better, there's nothing bigger, there's nothing greater than the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So he followed Jeremiah because he believed the Word of God, and he was willing to rely on His Word. Amen? Because God knows your trials. He knows where you're at. He knows where you're at. He knows where you're going to be. Ain't you glad God knows where you're going to be tomorrow and the next day and 10 years from now? Amen? And if we just stay with Him, He's promised to never leave us nor forsake us. He's promised to always be there with us. Praise His name. I'm glad it's that way. Amen. So not only does God know your trial, but God hears your words. Amen. Even in difficult days, even in difficult times. You know, when it seems like everything's falling apart all around you. Hello? Have you ever been there? Amen. Quite often. Amen. It seems like everything's just falling apart. Amen. Praise God. But it's when those difficulties come, praise God, that God hears your prayers. He hears your words when you speak to Him. Praise God. The Bible says He inclines to listen. He inclines to listen to you. He wants to hear from you. Oh, I tell you, if we wanted to talk to Him as much as He wants to hear from us, amen, we'd be talking to Him all the time. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's why He created us, to commune with Him in all things. Amen. But we see here what the Lord is dealing with here in these five short verses in the book of Jeremiah. He's dealing with Barak. He's dealing with this secretary to Jeremiah. And Barak begins to cry out. Amen. He sees all this stuff transpiring around him. He sees that all the hard work that he's done, everything that everything that Jeremiah was going through, Barak was going through. Amen? He was right there with the man of God through it all. And as Jeremiah went through this stuff, so was Barak. So we see him, he's here, and he begins to cry out, and he cries out, and I think it may be a dangerous desire, in verse number 5. He said, "Seekest thou great things for thyself?" Amen. Seekest great things for thyself. Seeking great things. And if we ain't careful what we do, we do the things that we seek great things, and we seek great things for ourselves. But I wonder if we got the seeking great things for the Lord God Almighty. Start seeking great things that would lift up and magnify the name of Jesus. Amen. He said, that's what makes the difference. Let's just suppose that Barak would have come, he would have separated himself from Jeremiah, and he would have become some great person, some great man in the kingdom. Would it serve him well to become as smart as he was and what he knew, he said, there's no telling where he could have been in the kingdom. That's true. But God said He's going to take all these nations and He's going to bring them to their knees. Amen. He would have been one of those great leaders that God would have humbled and brought to their knees. Praise God. God says He was going to do that. If you go on over through these next few chapters, you'll begin to see that as God begins to play it out, and He begins to deal. From chapter 46 on through chapter 51, He begins to deal with these different nations. He begins to tell them what's going to transpire and what's going to happen. And guess what? It did. Amen. And isn't it amazing how history tends to repeat itself? Hello? Nation after nation that was going through these different difficulties, these judgments of God, praise God, because of their rebellion against God. Hello. Amen. I want to say there's one true and living God, and He is the God Jehovah. Amen. And the Lord Jesus Christ. And besides that, Him, there is no other. But they begin to go against God, go away from God, and begin to bring in all these worldliness and worldly idols. And if Barak had chosen to go that way, just suppose he had, where would he have ended up? Amen? Where would he have ended up? What would his kingdom have been? A kingdom have been then? It would have been one that wouldn't have had someone like him that would have pinned it down and wrote it in a volume of book so that people could get in line behind God and walk in truth and righteousness. Praise God for God's glory. Amen. It would have been a total different picture. See, as God begins to deal with these Gentile nations, these Gentile powers, amen. He begins to deal with Egypt. He begins to deal with Edom and some of these others as He begins to show His hand to them and to lift up and it's His power against them. He begins to deal with them one nation at a time. What's He doing over there in the Middle East now? God's dealing with the same nations, one nation at a time. Amen. They thought they were something, praise God, but they're nothing compared to the power and the might of an almighty God. He begins to deal with Egypt and Ammon. He begins to deal with Edom. Remember the nation of Edom? They was up there in the mountain. They thought they were something else. They thought they was okay up in the mountains in the crevice of the rock. They was hidden. No, hey, they was in a place nobody could get to them, or so they thought. But guess what? They didn't know the mighty hand of God. It can get to them wherever they're at. Amen. Hey, there's nothing that can stop them. Praise God, the mighty hand of God. And then there's Damascus. Damascus and Hamath. Remember Hamath? That was the farthest point, the nation of Israel. That was to the northern point of their homeland. It was that promised land of God. And Damascus rode up and they said, well, you know what? We're going to take charge and control of this. We're not going to let God or God's people have it. Man, Damascus has been hammered. And now they're starting on Lebanon. Amen. They start to hammer on them. So you see these things taking place. You see them transpire just exactly like God was. And Barak, he had told him, he pinned it down. He said, listen, this is what it is. This is what's going to happen. You need to be listening for the mighty voice of God. But they didn't want to hear it. Amen. And then there's what about Elam? You go over in chapter 49, he said, and against Elam. The word of God that came to Jeremiah the prophet against Elam. You know what Elam is? You know who Elam is in the Bible? That's an ancient country of Persia. Amen? It's a little place called Iran. Amen? Imagine that. And he says, let me just read this to you. He said, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will break the bow of Elam and the chief of their might. And upon Elam will I bring the four winds from the four corners of heaven, and will scatter them toward all those winds. And there shall be no nation whether the outcast of Elam shall not come. For I will cause Elam to be dismayed before their enemies and before them that seek their life. And I will bring evil upon them, even my fierce anger, saith the Lord. And I will send a sword after them till I have consumed them. And I will set my throne in Elam. And I will destroy from thence the king and the princes, saith the Lord. Amen. Imagine that. He said, but it shall come to pass in the latter days that I will bring again the captive Elam, saith the Lord. He said, listen, what's going to take place? He said, what God's done before. Hey, man, I want to tell you tonight, what God's done before, He can do again. And that little old people over there, praise God, they're rising up and they're worshiping God. They're praising the Lord. They're getting saved, trusting Lord Jesus Christ by the multitudes, thousands upon thousands of Iranians are accepting Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. And I'm just looking for any day God's going to raise them up. Great army out of that place. He's going to establish himself there just like he said in the word of God. What if Barak hadn't wrote it down? What if he hadn't been faithful to God? What if he hadn't been faithful to the man of God? We wouldn't have knew what we know today from the word of God and the power of his word. Praise God, what's going to take place and what's going to transpire in the days ahead? God Almighty's still on the throne. He's still in power. And just exactly what he says he'll do, he will accomplish again. Amen. God's going to send in the forces. He's going to beat them to the ground. He's going to destroy their kings and their princes. Amen. I praise God. He's going to set as supreme over all. There's a lot of people today want to disregard the Lord Jesus Christ and His magnificence. I want to tell you today, He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And there's none beside Him. And His will be done. Praise God. In the Gentile world, until He puts all of it under His feet. Praise God. So that He can present it to the Father. Praise the Lord. That can be what He wanted it to be. What He desired it to be. Even from the very beginning. Bless the name of the Lord. Just suppose that Barak had went a different direction. Suppose he hadn't had become some great man in some kingdom, he would have been for naught, praise God. Where would that kingdom have been now? What kind of person he would end up being, praise the Lord. But God, amen. You say, well, what happened to him? Praise God. Praise God, he was alive and cared for. Amen? He may have had hardships. He may have had trials. He may have had sorrow, praise God, with old Jeremiah the prophet being his secretary and sticking by his side. Praise God, he was taken care of and he was fed, glory to God. Man, he said he'd never see the righteous forsaken nor his seed a begging bread. Praise the Lord. You say, preacher, how come he was taken care of? How come God took care of him? Because of his association with the prophet Jeremiah. Amen. Hey, you never go wrong by backing God's people. Hello? I said, you'll never go wrong by backing God's people. You'll stay with God's people, stay with God's prophets, stay with the men of God, stay with the children of God, and you'll never go wrong. God will bless you for it, I promise you. He always does. Said he'd not see the righteous forsaken or seed begging bread. He said he would always put something on your table. He'd always give you confidence, praise God. He'd always help you to stand. And having done all, stand, praise God. Amen. So if you're going to seek great things, he said, then seekest thou great things for thyself. He said, listen, Barak, he said, if you want to seek great things for the Lord. Amen. He said, when you seek great things for the Lord, when you take the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God, you get it all. There's nothing that God will withhold from you if you put Him first. Amen. He said, so if you're going to seek great things today, if you want great things from the Lord, praise God, just stay with God. Just keep seeking those things from the portals of glory to minister to your heart, touch your soul. Amen. You say, how do you do it, Pastor? You do it, praise God. You seek these things for God. Amen. He said, you seek these things for God and not for yourself. That's what makes the difference. When we seek things from the Lord for His glory, amen, then He gets the glory of it. And we don't seek it for ourselves, but we reap the benefits. Amen? It's kind of like that basket that's packed full, pressed down, overflowing. Amen? That God so graciously gives us when we put Him first. When we seek Him, seek the God with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. Amen? He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And everything else that we need will be added to us. So how do we find that? Amen? When we're seeking great things from the Lord. So that God can get glory out of the great things that He's given us in our lives. Amen? That's what makes the difference. Praise God. That's what made the difference. And it just continues to overflow. And it continues to repeat itself. And it seems like the more we get into it, the more we allow God to just touch and use us in our lives, and the more we try to love and to love others, praise God, the more God helps us, and the more He just keeps filling our cart. Do you get to where you can't distribute it as fast as it's coming in, and you're just praising and giving God glory until you get flooded and running over, and praise God, you get overwhelmed with the goodness and the grace of God. Amen. He said, Barak, he said, hey, listen, he said, you know what? I know you're disappointed. I know you're sorrowing. I know you're in trials. I know these hard times upon you. But he said, listen, friend. He said, you're making a difference. He said, no matter what the king, no matter what the others said, you're making a difference. Amen. I bet you I guarantee you there was a change of attitude when Jehoiakim was come in, when Babylon come in, and they sacked the city, and they took him into captivity. Amen? Wonder what he was thinking when he saw Nebuchadnezzar coming at them, when they were surrounded, when they had nowhere to go. I'll tell you what they thought. He said, boy, I wish I'd have listened to old Barak. I wish I'd listened to old Jeremiah. I wish I'd have paid attention to that old prophet. Amen? We're lucky. We have the Word of God, praise God, and you can get it in a variety of different ways now. Even if you can't read, praise God, these people that'll read it to you. Amen. You can get it. Hey, you can get it on your phone. If you're going to spend hours on your phone, you ought to spend it listening to the Word of God. You want to read your phone, read the Word of God, for you can get it right on your phone. Amen. Me and Kevin's talking about that. There was a fellow posted a thing. Kevin forwarded it to me. And he was talking about the mark of the beast. And he's talking about you mark in your hand and a mark in your head. And he said, I wonder what that could be. He said, could it be this right here? He said, you got it in your hand, and everything that you do, it speaks to your head. Yeah, you bow to it. You put it in front of your face. Huh? And now AI is telling you what to think. Now we're starting to listen to AI. And we're listening to God. But we're listening to AI, and we ask AI questions, and he gives us answers. And it says right on there, if you'll read, he said, these may not be accurate. They may have errors. But we'll take our chances. Amen? We'll take our chances with AI. I'd rather take my chances with God. Amen? We better be careful what we got in our hand. We better be careful what we put in our head. We better just stay with God. Better stay with the Word. I told a long time ago that Facebook, praise God, it should ought to be your face in the Word of God and the face in the book. That'll make the difference. Instead of trying to solve everybody's problem, that'll make you crazy. Amen? Remember, it'll make you crazy. We are problem solvers. That's why we're designed to solve problems. And when you get everybody's problems stuck out in your face, praise God, it's gonna mess up your mind. You'll go to bed, can't pillow your head because you're worried and fretting over what Sally Joe may be about, is trying to get over, trying to get through, and you don't even know who she is. Hello? Amen. Praise God. We need to say, hey, what does it say? It said, if you're going to seek great things from the Lord. Ask God to help you, praise God. Manifest Himself to you in the power of His might. Amen. A Barak. He was disappointed. He was discouraged. He was dissatisfied. He thought all that hard work had gone for nothing. I can just remember, imagine when Jeremiah came to him and said, Brock, he said, yeah, you know, he's all glum. He's all distraught. He's all disappointed. Done destroyed all that hard work. Cut it with a penknife, throwed it in the fire. He said, Brock said, God spoke to me again. He said, He did. He said, what did he say? He thought he's going to get some. Hey, that's the way R.A. White used to do me. Amen. He'd talk to me like that, and he said, can I tell you something, son? He said, you take this old black back Bible. And I thought, boy, he's going to give me something philosophical. He's going to give me something really deep. And he'd say, take this old black back Bible. He said, when you preach it, he said, just try to put it on the bottom shelf where the little youngins can get it, and then you're preaching. Amen. Glory to God, what a truth. And we see that to Jeremiah told Barak. He said, guess what, Barak? He said, God said, He told us what we need to do now. Barak's looking for that next chapter in his life, you know, moving on up. Kind of like George Jefferson going toward the top. Amen? Glory. He said, hey, Barak, he said, you need to write that down again. Amen? He said, I'm going to tell you what the Lord says. We're going to write that down, and we're going to add a little bit to it this time. Amen. God ain't satisfied with what He had last time. Praise God. He said He's going to give you a little bit more of what you had last time, and He's going to add a little bit more to that. I like it that way. Glory to God, it's just better when you get just a little bit more. I like when you read them old scriptures, praise God, all of a sudden God gives you just a little bit more, just a little unction, just a little thought, praise God, a little bit more than what you got last time. Amen. Because that's just who God is. So when you get to seeking great things, He told him, He said, don't seek these great things for yourself, for thyself. He said, seek the great thing, praise God, for those around you and for the kingdom, for your people. And God will get the glory. Praise God. And you'll get the rewards on the other side. See, I'm not looking for no rewards on this side. Amen. I don't need no attaboys. Praise God. I'm looking for the rewards when I get home. Praise God. I'm not seeking great things here. A little old fella in my Bible college class, and I'll never forget it. I was talking to him one day, and somebody asked him, well, why are you going to Bible college? He said, because I want to be a great preacher. He said, great preacher? He said, you mean, what do you, and one of the, I think it was Dr. Day, he said, well, what do you mean by great preacher? He said, well, I want to pastor one of them churches and have thousands of people and make thousands and thousands of dollars. Amen? He's in the wrong business. Amen? God bless you. But it's not about the money. It's about the blessings and about the glory and the honor, praise God, that God gets out of just a little bitty somebody like us. Amen? That's what makes the difference. When we're seeking great things, we're seeking great things from the Lord, for the Lord, praise God, that He might get the glory out of our lives. Amen? So Jeremiah takes here and he said, Brock, we need to write this little conversation we had down here. And how you were talking to the Lord, how you were disgruntled, how you were a little bit disappointed. Amen. I'd say Barak was a whole lot more than a little bit disappointed. Amen. I'd say a lot of his hard work was ripped up, tore up, thrown in the fire, went up in smoke in just a minute. I mean, you're talking about something that it probably took him weeks, months, maybe even a year to write. You just think about it, with an inkwell and a quill pen. Dip mark. I mean, glory. Amen. But God Almighty was in it, praise God. He said, hey, listen, hey, you know what you do? You get to do it again. And Barak, he said, what? He said, are you serious? He said, yeah. That's what God told him. He said, hey, have Barak, write it again. Amen. And tell him, I'm going to bless him for it. He said, you're not doing great things for yourself. He said, the great things that you're doing for the Lord God Almighty. Amen. And Barak said, well, you know, since you say it that way, let me go get my quill and my ink bottle and a parchment and a roll and said, I'll get started on it today. Amen.